I'm going to talk out of, in a moment, out of Mark chapter 1. There's Bibles dotted around the place. And so if you get a chance just to turn there. But today is a Pentecost Sunday, as you know, and it's when we talk about as a church and we focus particularly on the Spirit being poured out, and all our songs were relevantly to that, weren't we? I was speaking a few months ago in a church up in Scotland called Destiny Church. It's like a really dynamic, power-packed, I don't know how, maybe 1,000 people at this church. And the leader said to me, oh, this is the Sunday when we put the service out online to all our churches around the world. I hope that's okay. If you can remember, there'll be people from all over the world listening in, many thousands of us. I said, oh, wow, that's cool. How many churches will be sharing this service? He said, around 600. I said, you're joking. This Destiny Church in Scotland's got like 500 churches in India, and they're all watching this service. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Talk about multiplication. And I'm talking to the minister before, and the conversation we had, and this guy's obviously done something remarkable in the kingdom. The conversation we had was about authority. How the correct use of authority grows things and people flourish and society flourishes. The poor use of authority crushes people. And we all know that's the truth, don't we? We see it with leaders in all sorts of different spheres. Perhaps we've experienced bad use of authority by leaders in our business life or our school or our community. Even in our church, some church situations, sometimes people can just use authority in so much the wrong way. And we were chatting about the Great Commission. You know, Matthew 28, right at the end of the Gospels, Jesus has risen from the dead, spent 6 weeks convincing his disciples he's really alive. He even preached to a setting of about 500 people. He met them in multiple occasions, had breakfast with them on the beach, went for walks with them. You know, he'd convinced them he's alive. And in Matthew 28, there's this classic little verse, Matthew 28, verse 17, just before the ascension. Just before he goes back to the Father, he says, Matthew 16 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. This is the 11. You know, this is the 11 guys who've journeyed with him for 3.5 years, who've seen him again and again repeatedly, convincing them that he really has conquered sin and death. He's risen from the dead. And the Bible says they worshipped him, but some doubted. It's like, what do you need, boys? You know, come on, do me a favor. But I think, isn't that a picture of every time Christians get together? Even this morning, you know, with joy and hands in the air and singing about the Holy Spirit, some of us are worshipping. Come on, some of us are doubting. Something's chipping away at our peace or our confidence in the gospel. And that stuff can so easily mean we end up on the back foot and we don't move in the authority that God's given us. So Jesus said, on the back of some worshipping and some doubting, he said these words, all authority and heaven in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you believe that? That all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. When he says stuff, it happens. You know, like you only took your last breath because Jesus said so. He is going to wind up world history one day with his powerful word. That's how powerful Jesus is. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So, Jesus says, you go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the earth. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, so you go. I'm delegating that authority to you, in other words. I'm the King of glory. I'm all authority. Here's my Holy Spirit. So you can go in my name and you can see the things happen that would happen if I was walking around in your Nike trainers. If you don't believe me, look at John 20. What did Jesus say in John 20 as he gathered the disciples? As John explains this little amazing encounter, Jesus said to the disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on the disciples. And what did he say? Receive my spirit. So Jesus said, as the Father sent me with full authority, I'm sending you. If we get hold of it, it will blow our minds. Mark, who wrote Mark's gospel, one of Peter's very best mates, and many, many people believe that, you know, Mark was really telling Peter's story, you know, of the life of Jesus. He was writing it down, but Peter was explaining it all to Mark. Mark wrote this in Mark chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses from Mark chapter 1. And then I want you to go out of this place with your mind blown by the full authority you have in Jesus Christ. As a spirit-filled believer, as a spirit-filled follower, as someone who's received the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received 2,000 years ago. Because you have. There aren't two Holy Spirits. They're not like a super powerful anointed one that the disciples got on the hillside and then a kind of watered down second division one that we get. No, we have the same Holy Spirit. And when you became a Christian, Jesus breathes on you and he says, receive my spirit. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. If we get hold of it, it will change everything. On the way out of Destiny Church, as you walk out of that church in big letters, it says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Because they'd understood something at that church about the authority they'd got. So let me read a few verses out of Mark chapter 1. And then let me just explain before we finish, four areas where I believe God wants Christians to wake up to the authority they have in Jesus' name. To change things. People of authority who use authority properly change things for good. So Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 34. They came out to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teacher of the law. And just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what's this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about Jesus spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So we've been charged with authority through the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, to do four things. And I'm going to just pull these out of Mark's Gospel here, chapter 1. First thing is we've been charged to preach with authority. Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Check that out. He said, this is why I have come, to preach the good news. And I'm like, God, give us some preachers. Give us some people who have confidence in the gospel. Give us some people who will boldly stand up in season, out of season, in schools and colleges and universities and churches and big gigs. Part of my man and Gary's passion, and you saw we want 100 evangelists raised up here in Wales, and we've got a plan through something called Advance 2020. The vision is 1,000 all over the UK. Young men and women who understand the good news and are willing to preach it boldly. Not weirdly, foaming at the mouth and shouting people to turn or burn, but just people who love people and who love the Bible and are filled with the Spirit and go for it. Because I think in our little part of Western Europe, perhaps we've lost some confidence in the preached gospel. But around the world where people will pray a lot and preach a lot faithfully, guess what's happening? That beautiful thing called revival. Where people stand up and share the good news of Jesus. Don't you want to see that here? I want to see it. It's interesting. In Mark chapter 1, the next verses, verse 35 to 38, straight after all this amazing stuff, all these miracles and whole communities getting transformed by the healing power of Jesus, he says the very next thing he did was get up early in the morning when it was still dark. There's a role model for us. Went to a solitary place and he prayed. And when Simon and his companions found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." Now, my guess is, if it really started to kick off with Hire, and Gary went away for his prayer time with the Lord on the, in Penarth, looking over the sea, "Oh God, what are we to do?" And all the Hire team came to him, said, "Gary, it's kicking off. All the schools are opening up. They want us to put the arena. You know, we're seeing thousands saved. We're seeing incredible healings all across South Wales." Gary would be like, "In the net. Come on, here we go. Get it booked. Forget the arena. Let's book the stadium." But Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else then. Let's go somewhere else then." And you know why he said, "Let's go somewhere else"? So that I can preach there. Anything that distracted Jesus from preaching was a distraction. Signs followed Jesus preaching. But Jesus, first and foremost, was a gospel communicator, bringing good news. Because the greatest miracle Jesus wanted to see was salvation. Yeah, he had to do the other stuff because he's a God of compassion and he loves the sick and the broken and the hurting. But first and foremost, Jesus was a preacher. Wouldn't it be great if lots and lots of people across South Wales got confident in the gospel again? That one can, it doesn't have to be preaching from a stage. It can be one-on-one, sharing the good news relevantly, believing there's an I speak, that great miracle can happen. So God, give us people who preach with authority. But yes, give us people who heal with authority. Jesus is still in the business of healing every and any sickness today. Look at verse 34. What an amazing thing. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. That evening before sunset, verse 32, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Wow, what a scene that must have been. Imagine the mental illness and the cancer and the all kinds of leprosy and all kinds of brokenness going on. And Jesus just reached out and healed every single one of them. My daughter was out for a season in Africa in Mozambique with Heidi and Roland Baker. Maybe you've heard of them. I mean, they're people who've seen like hundreds of people raised from the dead, believe it or not. But they had like 10 years of nothing. They just went out there and served the poor and poured themselves out. And after 10 years, they had three churches planted, two which were on life support. Basically, they needed to be shut down. And then Heidi just went out and spent time like Jesus did in the mountains. Oh, what's it all about, God? She had this massive encounter with Jesus. Oh, and a vision of heaven and was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. She came down the same woman, but a different woman. In the next 10 years, she planted 10,000 churches. And saw this same woman, in a way, doing the same thing, but there was an anointing on her. There was the favor of God on her. There was the blessing. She was full to overflowing with the Spirit and started to see the most remarkable miracles. Well, we're not there, are we, to be honest? You know, I have not seen many people raised from the dead in my meetings recently. But I have seen God do miracles. I've also prayed for people really hard and seen them die of cancer. And in some ways, you know, I've learned to rejoice over what God's doing and not over what he's not doing. And I've also learned, it's a bit like preaching the gospel. The more people I preach for, as Gary said, the more people I see come to Christ. If I keep quiet, nobody's going to come to Christ. It's almost like that with healing. The more times I lay hands on the sick in faith, the more miracles I see. I don't see everybody healed, but that doesn't stop me keep praying for the sick. Because we're commanded to. And Jesus said, do it with his full authority. You see, where we are is probably not Mark 1, 34. We're probably Mark 6, verse 6, don't you think? He could not do many miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's a bad day for Jesus. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So isn't there something going on there that our lack of faith towards healing can even limit what Jesus wants to do. My guess is that I think it's fair to say he wanted to heal just as many people in Mark 6 as did in Mark 1, didn't he? But there was something about their lack of faith. In fact, faith is the only time you see Jesus amazed in the Bible. It says in John's Gospel, he was amazed at a centurion's faith when the centurion said, "You don't even need to come to my house. You just say the word and my son will be healed." And Jesus was amazed. And yet in Mark 6, he was amazed by the lack of faith of these people. What's the matter with you? You've seen all the stuff I've done before, as if I can't do it again. I mean, what's it going to be this morning? Are we going to amaze Jesus, the King of Glory, just by our confidence and our expectation, or by our lack of faith? The third thing, area I believe where Jesus wants us to exert our authority, is to confront the powers of darkness. You know, for every assignment, there's an adversary. There is an adversary coming against higher. I mean, I've felt it as we've stepped the work up on all fronts. Even Heidi Baker, in the midst of all this crazy stuff happening, 10,000 churches being planted, people being raised from the dead. Her husband, Roland, got terminal dementia for several years, nearly died, and it was 3 years before the miraculous healing came to him. If only we could see the battle that's going on, the battle for souls, the battle for our families, the battle for our futures, we'd be a whole lot more serious about putting on the full armour of God. Devil's got plans for you. Yes, he's got plans down, 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 further and further away from your calling and your destiny. Further and further away from the bullseye of God's will. But God's got plans for you. I know which plans I want to embrace. I know which way I want to go. And finally, God's given us authority, most importantly, to announce and pronounce the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Little me and little you can announce the most glorious miracle and watch it take place every time. We can say, in Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. There's a cheeky little verse that confused me for a long time in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus says this. John chapter 20, verse 23. Jesus says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. That's talking to us. That's talking to his followers. But surely, we're not the ones who can forgive sins. I can't forgive sins. I can't decide whose sins are forgiven or not. But actually, the key thing for that verse is the preceding verses. Because, of course, the preceding verses are where we started. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Receive my Spirit. So once we've received the Spirit of Jesus, once we're moving forward faithfully with the authority he's given us to preach the good news and confront the powers of darkness, actually, we can say, you're forgiven in Jesus' name, and that person's forgiven. We faithfully proclaim the gospel, we've invited a response, and we can say, you're forgiven. And we can know it happened, the greatest miracle of all. And when you're forgiven, through Jesus, you're made right with God. When you're forgiven, you can go to heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. I've got no reason to go there apart from I've accepted Jesus' forgiveness. You are going to see me in heaven. Get used to it. Good news is I won't look like this. I will kind of, you'll recognise me, but I'll have hair and a six pack. I'll be amazing. It'll be me, but it won't really be me. It'll be me made right, made perfect. And you'll be there and you'll be amazing too if you know Jesus, if you accept Jesus. And I can, with the full authority based on the living word of God and the authority Jesus commissioned to me and every believer, I can announce the forgiveness of sins over your life. I can say, you're forgiven, you're filled, you're moving into the purposes of God. You can live life to the full. You can have the power of the Spirit to take you through every bit of rubbish life will throw you and come out the other end as a faithful one who's made a mark in this generation. Don't you want to be that kind of person? So Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Help us to recognize. And God, if you're calling us in a special way to be a preacher who faithfully preach your gospel, I pray you'll put that on us and we won't shirk from that. I pray every one of us will have opportunities to lay our hands on the sick and see miracles happen. Diagnosis will be reversed. Healing will come in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be strong people who stand in your righteousness and see the powers of darkness pushed back. Powers that want to see our young people self-harming and suicidal and broken and addicted to sex and drugs and stuff that's going to just destroy them. Actually see that push back and see your kingdom come. And I pray, God, you'll give us the greatest privilege in the world that we can announce your forgiveness in situation after situation, school after school, venue after venue, conversation after conversation. Jesus has forgiven sins. You see, this gospel really works. Before I finish, I don't know who's here. You know, I've preached in churches and Jesus couldn't have got anyone saved because they're all in and everybody's doing good. But Gary mentioned this Bible. We've given 10,000 of these away in the last 12 months or so, a bit more. And we want to give another 4,000. We're believing 4,000. We're not just going to give them. We're going to give them to people who've made the decision for Christ. And if you choose to follow Christ this morning, at the end of this service, I'd love to give you this. It's the most precious thing in the world. And at the front of this Bible are all sorts of helpful notes just to help you find your way around the Bible and little tabards to get your way to some key passages that will help you grow in your faith. And we've also got a website and all sorts of resources through Message Wales that can help you grow in your faith. And it could be a line in the sand today where you say, from here on, it's all for Jesus. From here on, Jesus is Lord. I make him king, I make him boss, I put him first. What a beautiful day that would be. And I'm not going to come all the way from Manchester and not give you the opportunity to do that. So can we all just bow our heads? And I'd like us to have a little holy moment now this morning in Woody Baptist Church here in Cardiff when we reflect where we stand before God. And I pray this morning by your Spirit, Lord, that salvation will spring up in this church. I pray fresh commitment, fresh dedication, fresh fire will come. Thank you, Jesus.